Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Last week, we began looking at a fascinating but oh so sad article I recently came across that was published in the spring 2012 issue of The New Atlantis. It was fascinating because of the depth of information and history about population control and the use of forced abortion and sterilization in such programs. It was sad because of the horror forced upon so many unwilling individuals worldwide. And it was sad because of the United States' involvement in these programs. The article, entitled The Population Control Holocaust, was written by Robert Zubrin, a contributing editor to The New Atlantis. At the end of last week, we shared Mr. Zubrin's writing about Dr. Reimert Thorolf Ravenholt, who was appointed in 1966 as the first director of the USAID Office of Population. Who was Dr. Ravenholt? Zubrin asked. An epidemiologist by training, he apparently looked on pregnancy as a disease to be eradicated in the same way one eliminates smallpox or yellow fever. I'd like to continue from there. As his method of operation, Ravenholt adopted the practice of distributing his funds aggressively to the International Planned Parenthood Federation, the Population Council, and numerous other privately run organizations of the population control movement, enabling them to implement mass sterilization and abortion campaigns worldwide without U.S. government regulatory interference, and allowing their budgets to balloon. First tenfold, then 100-fold, and then even more. This delighted the leaders and staff of the population control establishment, who were able to embrace a luxurious lifestyle, staying in the best hotels, eating the best food, and flying first class as they jetted around the world to set up programs to eliminate the poor. Having thus secured the unqualified support of both the population control establishment and several major pharmaceutical companies, Ravenholt was able to lobby Congress to secure ever-increasing appropriations to further expand his growing empire. His success was remarkable. Before Ravenholt took over, USAID expenditures on population control amounted to less than 3% of what the agency spent on health programs in third world nations. By 1968, Ravenholt had a budget of $36 million, compared to the USAID health program's budget of $130 million. By 1972, Ravenholt's population control funding had grown to $120 million per year, with funds taken directly at the expense of USAID's disease prevention and other health care initiatives, which shrank to $38 million in consequence. In just 5 short years, the U.S. non-military foreign aid program was transformed from a mission of mercy to an agency for human elimination. In 1968, Robert McNamara, a staunch believer in population control, resigned his post as Secretary of Defense to assume the presidency of the World Bank. From this position, he was able to dictate a new policy, making World Bank loans to third world countries contingent upon their government's submission to population control, with yearly sterilization quotas set by World Bank experts. Cash short and heavily in debt, many poor nations found this pressure very difficult to withstand. This strengthened Ravenholt's hand immeasurably. We'll leave off here for today. Join me again tomorrow as we enter the 1970s with Mr. Zubrin and the Nixon administration's use of the population control agenda for its supposed value as a Cold War weapon. In the meantime, we've posted a link to the entire article, as well as additional resources on the inhumane advocacy of population control advocates. Those links are available at prolifeperspective.com. I encourage you to take some time to share these episodes, as well as Mr. Zubrin's article, with friends and family. It illustrates, in great and grave detail, the history of population control, its foundations and origins, and how it has impacted our entire world as a result.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.